Well, are we still okay? I kind of have something to share just before I open up my Bible. And for the recording, Nigel, that the title is Suddenly. And as I was looking at the word suddenly and something that is unexpected and fast, lots of other things come into play. And one of the things Clive shared with us today was to be who we are. And during worship, I was pondering on that whole thought. You know, God has said to me and Susan time and time again, you know, I've called you to be you, not to be someone else. I've called you to minister in the way that I've called you. And we was away for a few days, and I really felt on my shoulders, I felt so heavy. And it felt as if I was just being pressed down. And I just thought I was tired. And there's a portion of scripture that I hadn't really tied up the two together until worship today. We're praying and we're saying, Lord, come. And I had to sit down because I felt that I was going to fall off my feet. And as I was sitting there in worship, it suddenly came to me that the feeling I had, and this isn't a super spiritual statement, this is just what God has said to me, to be who I've called you to be. That the heaviness I felt was many years ago. I was reminded during worship that I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, I pray for a double portion of your goodness. I pray for a double portion of your spirit. I pray, Father, for your mantle. And I was just reminded that there was a heaviness on me, and it wasn't oppression. It was just God's presence. And so you be who God's called you to be. Suddenly, I've written one or two things down here. There is a price to pay. Salvation is free, but most other things cost. God's word is given to us. It talks in Timothy. Everything is to encourage, to discipline and edify us and build us up to become mature. So all of God's word is encouraging. And I was sharing with someone today that I'm not somebody that tells too many stories, yet I have a lot of stories in my life. But God called me to minister his word, and that's what I want to do. It's not about what I say, it's what he says to us. So I want you to look at what we're saying today, or listen to what you're hearing today, and see if God is speaking afresh into your life. Because he wants to bless you, he wants to encourage you. During these scriptures that I was looking at, I like to read around. I look at one portion of scripture, and then even though I may not articulate what's going on around that portion of scripture, I like to read around it, above it, to the sides and underneath, just to see the context, so that I get a full understanding that what God is saying to me is true, not just me trying to make scriptures fit together. So as I was looking at the portion of scripture that I want to read in a moment, it's in 2 Kings. Although I was looking at the word suddenly, and let me just read that suddenly out to you so you get an idea of where I'm coming from. In 2 Kings 2 verse 11 it says, as they were walking together, this is Elijah and Elisha, as they was walking together, suddenly he was taken up. And there's times in my life, and I'm sure there's times in your life, and anyone who chooses to listen to this message, there are times in our life that suddenly's come, that it's unexpected, that the floor just seems to open up and whoosh, we disappear. There's a suddenly, I believe, for all of us. But as I started to look through these portions of scripture, I thought maybe I should change the title to something different. Loyalty. As I was looking through this relationship with Elijah and Elisha, loyalty kept coming out. But I want to stick to the suddenlies so that I can minister next week on the same subject. Suddenly. Suddenly. And I just want to say to us as a ministry, as a church, as individuals, I'm sure there's suddenlies in your life. And if we look to him, we'll realize that he's our foundation. He's the beginning, he's the middle, and he's the end. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's everything. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I really enjoy reading God's word. So I'm going to read some portions to us today. And I really trust that you grab what God is saying. What he said to me, I hope it comes across to you. In 2 Kings 2 verse 1 it says this, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha, this is where you need teeth, Elisha and Elijah were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "Surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you." Read around the story of the relationship between these two men. And here you've got, where you go, I go. And it's through, if you look through the book of Ruth, you'll see it again. Where you go, I go. Your God is my God. Where you lay your head, I want to lay my head. There's a relationship here between these two individuals, these two men of God. But there is a suddenly that happens in his life. And I want to suggest that the suddenlies in your life, you can learn from these portions of scripture. But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" And Elisha had to put up with a lot of stuff from well-meaning people. A lot of stuff. "Do you not know that this is happening? You know what's happening in your life. You don't need me to tell you what's happening in your life. You know what's happening in your life." But there are times on our journey when the suddenlies come, there have been people who have highlighted certain things and we've not heard them. Even though these prophets were cajoling him at times and making fun of him at times, they still spoke the truth, didn't they? "Did you not know?" And he said, "Yes, I do." He actually said, "I do. Be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho together. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up. They were following him. If you look and look, read around this story, the company of the prophets were following them to see what would happen. "Do you not know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And you know what? There are times in our lives where we'll be told one thing and we have a choice whether to do it or not. Maybe God is saying to you today, be loyal. Do not leave the situation you're in, but listen to God. So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided from the right and the left, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," he replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will be not." If Elijah hadn't followed Elijah, if he hadn't have served him, if he hadn't have been faithful, when the suddenly came, he wouldn't have received his inheritance. There are times in my life, and I'm sure there's times in your life, that you want to give up. You know the story, or maybe you don't know the story, of the man who wanted to swim across an expanse of water. Let's just say it was a channel. I'm not quite sure. And just before he reached land, it was foggy. He couldn't see the land. He gave up. He got in the boat, and it was about 100 meters for him to reach the land. He gave up. If Elisha had given up serving the plans and purposes that God had for him, he wouldn't have been in the right place at the right time to receive the blessing. So I want to say to us today, let's keep going. Let's be faithful. When the suddenlies come, let's fix our eyes on Christ, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of my faith and your faith. Let's run to his word, not from his word. "You have asked a difficult thing," he said. As they were walking along and talking together, just an ordinary day, suddenly the chariot of fire and horses appeared and took him up in a whirlwind. And there are suddenlies that happen, but I want to illustrate the relationship of these two men. I want to say to you that when we look at the life of Elisha, Elisha had a desire, and sometimes in life we can desire God's gifts, God's abilities, God's talents, and then someone else, the well-meaning prophet, could say, no, that's not for you. You're too lowly. You need to be humble. God can't use you. But God can use you. God can use you. He's equipped you. He's anointed you. He's given you a portion of his spirit. We can ask for a double portion. We can ask for a fresh anointing. We can ask for him to guide us, direct us. But when you look at these two men, Elisha didn't just turn up and walk into it. In 1 Kings 19, So Elijah went from there and found Elisha. He was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen. 12 yoke of oxen, 24 oxen, that's a lot of wealth. He was ploughing, and it says he was ploughing himself. He was doing the work, the hard work of ploughing the land himself with what he owned. He was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him. He put his mantle upon him. There was an empowering, and God empowers you as he empowers me. The Bible says that we are clothed in righteousness. When we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us and his righteousness covers us. We've all been given that cloak. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. The man of God turns around Elijah and he says, what have I done to you? And there are times where God calls us, but he gives you the opportunity to turn back. You don't have to follow him. God loves you enough, he's given you the choice to choose. The Bible puts it like this. He says, I set before you two paths, life and death. Choose life. Choose life. You know, when Steve stood up a couple of weeks ago and said, I need help, pray for me, he had to make a choice. We can't do it for him. It's Christ in him. But he has to want it. You have to want it. Elisha had to want it. And it said this. So Elisha left him and went back and took his yoke of oxen. He slaughtered them, burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat, to give to the people to eat. And then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. And when we look at this story, it's easy to jump from there to the double portion without reading in between. That's why if you haven't got it, you can't give it. If you haven't read it, you can't bring it back to mind. So we encourage you within this church, Grace Church, to read scripture for yourself so you know that God can give you a vision and a dream. You know that when he speaks his word, it's his word. And when we look at the story of these two men, what we don't see in these two scriptures is the 15 years of washing feet and serving his master before he got the mantle. There is something about suddenlies in our life, but there's also something about maturity. There's also something about forgiveness. There's also something about longevity. There's also something about being honourable to one another. And to be there in the good, the bad, and the indifferent. And when you look through the life of these two men, I'm sure there was good, bad, and indifferent. But Elisha knew that there was a call on his life, and he served Elijah. Someone said to me many years ago, and I believe it to be true, Andrew, unless you are willing to serve someone else's vision, God won't give you a vision of your own. Unless you're willing to humble yourself and wash someone else's feet, you won't have the opportunity to have your feet washed. Unless you serve. And when we look at this situation here, it was 15 years of diligence, of mundaneness, of when will I enter my glory, Lord? When will I get the mantle? When will I have the double portion? Even though it doesn't say it here, but there must have been a desire in this young man's life. And it started with the call of God. So I'm going to ask you a question and give you the answer at the same time because I'm good like that. Have you been called? The answer is yes. If you're a Christian, born again, filled with his spirit. That means you said at some point in your life, I am a sinner, I need to be saved by grace. The grace of God. Undeserved favor. Lord, forgive me. for I have sinned. Lord, come into my life. Help me to live my life your way and not my way. Then you've been called. God's given you a measure of faith, yes? A deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That means there's more of him that you can lay hold of. So when we look at these lives here, yes, there is a suddenly. There is a suddenly. But God is there for you in the suddenlies. Whatever your suddenly is, if you have your feet firmly fixed upon his foundation. In Corinthians it says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So when the suddenlies come, they won't overwhelm you if you fix your eyes on him. When the wind and the waves of life and adversity come, and they will if they haven't done, then you will not sink if you fix your eyes on him. And that's what Elisha had to do in order to receive the double portion, in order to receive the mantle, in order to walk forward with what God was doing in his life. In Hebrews 13, it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? There are times, and if you look at the life of Elisha, he was being taunted by the prophets. What can men do to me if God has spoken to you? Has God said through his word that he loves you? If he has, he hasn't changed his mind. If he says he wants to correct you and enable you and empower you, he hasn't changed his mind. What can men do to you? If God be for you, who can be against you? It's not down here in my in the portions of scripture, but as I was looking at this story, there's Elisha fought the prophets of Baal. You know that story? There were some 420 or 450 prophets serving Baal, the enemy, the occult. And Elisha came to the mountain, and he put forward a challenge. He'd walked with the man of God. He'd received the mantle, but he had the opportunity to exercise it. What I want to say at this point here is God has called you. He's equipped you. He's anointed you. But we have the choice to walk in what God has given us. We can either sink or we can swim. We can either step off of the foundation or stay on the foundation. We can either run from God or run to God. And he's on this mountain and he puts a challenge out and he says, listen, call upon Baal to consume the sacrifice. And day and night they called upon Baal and he even mocked them by saying, maybe he's asleep. Speak a bit louder. He was so confident in who God was in his life. And then he said, right, put my sacrifice on the altar. Not only do I want you to put my sacrifice on the altar, I want you to consume it with water. I want you to saturate it. So there's no question that there was a spark somewhere else that ignited it. I want you to know it comes from God. And he called down fire and God consumed it. Something interesting happened after that. He'd just overcome. One of the most victorious things he'd ever done in his ministry was witnessed by all the people. And then one person said to him, this day I want your head, and he ran. And there are times in your life where you are serving God's plans and purposes. You're reading his word, you're praying, and you feel his presence. And then someone says one thing, and you want to run. Do you know why that is? As I was reading through that scripture, it hit me this morning as I was rereading it, because like I said, I want to read around stuff. It says, he ended up in a cave and he fell asleep. He woke up, God fed him. He fell asleep. He woke up, God fed him. Then God sent him. And there are times in your life that you will be so overwhelmed, so tired with the same things. God wants to feed you with his word. He wants you to stop. One of the things he said to me is, look at me. Look at me. Because I'm one of these people that I kind of look, I don't look at people. Because I stare when I look. But God was saying, look at me. And he said it afresh again when we was away. Look at me. I want to know you. So I want you to get to this understanding. If there's a suddenly in your life, and if there isn't, then store this up because there will be. If you're tired, rest and feed on God's word. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's what his word says. In Mark 10:26, the disciples were even more amazed. When we read around that scripture, you'll see that God was doing some awesome things. He says the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who can be saved?" Because there was a young man that came, and I'll read it to you. A young man, and he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus. In Mark 10, verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees. And if we pause and just look at the word knees, and we look at that desperation, other places in the Bible it says, and the leper came towards Jesus, fell on his knees and begged him. There's a reverence, and there's an awe, and there's a desperation when we fall on our knees. And this young man had fell on his knees before Jesus, and he said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied by saying this, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God." So in other words, you're coming to an understanding that I am God. You know the commandments, he said. And he chose to pick the latter ones, not the former ones. And he said, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and honor your mother." He says, "Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him, the scripture says, and loved him. He could see the desperation, I guess, in this young man's face. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything and you will and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad because he had great wealth. He got to a point in his life where he wanted to have eternity, but he didn't want to pay the price. Salvation is free, but everything else costs. It's not just the last few commandments God wants us to keep. He wants us to serve just one God. He wants us to keep all of his commandments. The Bible says, "I've not come to abolish the law, I've come to uphold the law." So in case you misinterpret that I'm living in Old Testament, I'm not. I'm living in New Testament grace. God gives us the grace to fulfill his commandments. At this, the man's face grew because of his wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven?" Then he talks to them a bit more. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." Then his disciples said, they were amazed, and they said to each other, "Well, who then can be saved?" All of that to say this, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible." That's why he uses that illustration, that camel going through the eye of a needle. It's impossible. Now, I have heard preachers say that there was a mountain somewhere with a cleft in it, with a gap in it, and it's called the eye of the needle. And if you have a camel that's fully laden with all your possessions, the camel can't go through. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying it's impossible. It's impossible. But he says, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So I want to remind you, when you go through life suddenly, all things are possible with God. What can man do to you? Peter spoke up and he said, "We've left everything to follow you." Does that sound familiar? When you look at Elisha had sold everything. He had given everything, should I say, away. What he had done is he'd burnt all his bridges. He didn't say to himself, "I've got these 12 yoke of oxen, they can make me some money, I'll employ someone to use them, they can plow the land, and when I finish with this man, if it don't quite work out, I'll go back and I'll carry on plowing the land." He didn't do that, did he? He gave everything. He said, "No, this is a call from God. This is a mantle that God is going to give me. He's going to give me that double portion. I want to serve this man. I want to be loyal to this man. I want to be loyal to the call that God has on my life, and I'm letting go of everything, and I'm coming to follow him." And we will see that because he left everything, let's read what it says here in the New Testament. "Truly I tell you," Jesus says, I want you to correlate what I've just said about leaving everything, selling everything, giving it all away to follow Jesus. You give up your old life, your old habits, your old addictions to follow Christ. He won't let you down. His disciples said, "We've given up everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive," doesn't matter what version you read this in, it says the same, "will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life." What Christ is saying here is that when you choose to give up everything for me, I'll give up everything for you. When you choose to give me your life, so you lose it, you will save it because of me. When you choose to follow me, I will look after you financially, physically, mentally and emotionally, but you will have persecutions. One of the great truths of the Bible that we don't like to preach or we don't like to hear is persecution. The more the church is persecuted, the stronger they become. So be careful what you pray for. But Jesus is saying here, you've not given anything up for me. You've simply chosen to follow me. And if you choose to follow me wholehearted, the Bible says, not half-hearted, I will give you back 100-fold that in which you have sold. And there's parables throughout the New Testament to back that up. The parable of the sower, the parable of the talents. God wants to greatly bless his people. Then Isaiah 61 is a portion of scripture that is really dear to me. In verse 10, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." And I'm not just being a wordsmith here. But when you look at the mantle that was given to Elisha, from Elijah, it was a mantle to say, now is your time. Well, when you accepted God, when you accepted Christ, when you accepted you as a sinner and you needed a Savior, God gave you a robe. And it's a robe of righteousness. And righteousness means this, a right standing with God. Does it mean you don't mess up? Of course it don't. Does it mean you won't say and do the wrong thing? Of course it don't. But it means that your salvation is assured, that your eternal perspective is given. He's given you a robe of righteousness. It says, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. There's a promise here for me and you if we will choose to follow him, if we'll choose to be loyal to his word, if we'll choose at the time we're tired to feed on his word, if we choose to keep faithful when the suddenlies come, then I trust me, his word encourages us that nothing is impossible. In Luke 9:61, still another said, "I will follow you." Jesus said to his disciples, "Come follow me." He said to people all around him, "Come follow me." He's quite deliberate. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You come and follow me." And this is what it says in 61. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And you need to read around this and you need to take it for what it is saying. If God calls you, you don't need to be looking back all the time at your old life. "Yeah, but I used to be like this." I've stopped saying, but I used to be this and I used to be that, because I am who God has called me to be. We heard it through a testimony this morning with Clive. He has got to be who God's called him to be. You've got to be who you're called to be. You can look back at your past and say, I am the way I am because I'm like this. Well, let's cut it off. Let's give it to God. Let it die. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. Now, that's talking about the death and resurrection of Christ. But let's look at that in the natural, just through science. If a seed dies, it produces life. And there are times when we look back, we can be turned into the pillar of salt. Let's not look back. I'm not saying don't remember what God has done, how faithful he has been, but I'm talking about when the suddenlies come. Let's deal with now. Let's look at who we are now. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service. I want to be fit for service, don't you? Let's look forward to what God has for us. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why do we have God's word to read ourselves? Why do we have God's word to listen to ourselves? So that we can be thoroughly equipped. All of God's scripture is for teaching. It's useful for rebuking and correcting. We was in home group some weeks ago and going through a small book, and it's talking about, it asked the question, you know, what is an itching ear? And we had lots of discussion around that, and we came to the conclusion an itching ear is an ear that just wants to hear what he or she wants to hear. So if you just want to hear how wonderful you are, then we could preach just that. You are wonderful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says so. If we want to preach how prosperous you can be, we can preach on that. God wants to give you 100-fold. For the small you put in, he wants to give you a lot in return. We can preach that. It's called prosperity. God wants to prosper you. The Bible says so. That is truth. But if we don't preach the persecution, then when the suddenly comes, what are you built your life on? You built your life on how loved you are. And then you feel unlovely. And you feel betrayed. And you crumble. You built your life on how wealthy you are, and then when your wealth is taken away, you crumble. Instead of building your life, and this goes for me too, on the foundation. When we build our lives on the foundation, when the suddenly comes, just as Elijah was taken up suddenly, Elisha received a double portion and a mantle to go forward and be who God's called him to be. That's the same for you and me. If we take hold of his word and we understand that it's all there for teaching, rebuking, encouraging and training, so that we can be fully equipped. The Bible puts it in another way, and I don't know where it is, but it's in the New Testament. It says that when persecution comes, when trial and tribulation comes, it's for the equipping of us. It's to strengthen us. When you look at the gifts in the Bible that is given by God, when we look at the evangelists and the prophets and the teachers and the pastors and so on, they're gifts given to the church so that the church can be built up, edified, and be who they are supposed to be. That's why we do what we do. So today, I started with the word, I'll finish with the word, suddenly. When the suddenlies come, let's fix our eyes on Christ. Final scripture is in Acts 14:22. Start from 21. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. They're preaching to people who hadn't heard the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them. And there is a time, and I want to use that story about Elijah being tired and running from danger. Running from that one word, from that one person who said, today I'm going to have your head. I want to come back to that and say there is a time that we need to be strengthening one another. That you can, if you see someone who's flagging, you see someone who's downhearted, you can encourage them. You can strengthen them by sharing God's word with them. They strengthened the disciples, encouraging them to remain true to the faith. That's what I want to do for us today. I want to encourage you to remain true to the faith. Not true to a church or a ministry, but true to the faith. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We must go through many hardships, he said, to enter the kingdom of God. So Paul preaches truth. The good news is, though we walk through the valley, we don't have to stay there. Can I invite our worship team back? We'll close on that. Though we walk through tough times, we don't have to stay there. God is not saying, become a Christian and woe is yours. He's saying, listen, I own the cattle on the hill. That's true, isn't it, Julian? He owns the cattle on the hill. He has the riches. He says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to build on the foundation that he's given you. His word isn't saying that your life will be woe and full of woe. What he's saying is when it comes, because we're in the world, not of it. When it comes, I will never leave you or forsake you. The suddenlies will come, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome. And if he's an overcomer, what's it make you and me? Overcomers. If he has eternal life, what do we have? Eternal life. If the victory is in Christ Jesus, we can be assured that we can stand on his foundation. Let's just close with prayer and then worship. Father, we thank you that during life suddenlies, you are the anchor for our soul. Father, we thank you that nothing overwhelms you. Lord, we thank you that you chose us, you equipped us. You anointed us. You put a robe of righteousness on us that we may have a right standing with you. Father, thank you for your word of encouragement. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your healing. Be blessed, church. Amen.